the several interveners have raised those issues, so they'll come up before the commission. I don't know that the commission is going to decide, you know, that it should consider them, if that makes any sense.
Sure. We heard that, you know, that both Duke and Progress were trying to limit the scope of...
Yes. They filed motions to strike, and the commission denied them.
Okay. And that happened today?
Yeah.
Denied them a strike?
Motions to strike.
Uh-huh.
The companies moved to strike a fair amount of testimony for various reasons. Part of it was that job losses wasn't part of the analysis.
I see. Okay. So they wanted that bit of testimony, which is, I guess, going to come from interveners, as
Correct.
You said. They wanted that to be withheld.
Correct.
Okay, and the Utilities Commission today said no.
Okay. They struck one little bit of testimony.
Okay.
For a different reason.
Okay, what was that bit of testimony?
Southern Environmental Law Center's witness argued that the application was incomplete because it didn't include a certain kind of cost-benefit study.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission had already concluded in an order that the application was complete.
Mm-hmm.
And they struck that testimony.
I see.
Okay. As not being factual, as being a legal conclusion.
Well, in essence, this is the hearing before the North Carolina Utilities Commission on our merger with Progress Energy that was announced January 10th of this year. And the largest state that we operated in is North Carolina. So this is a critical approval for us. We've had approvals from the Department of Justice. Kentucky has given us an approval with a condition that we're working through now. And the good news as far as this hearing goes with us is that we have a settlement with the public staff, which is a consumer arm in North Carolina. They advocate for the consumers. We have a settlement with that group, and we also have a settlement with the consumer advocate in South Carolina, which is also intervening in this case.
And when you say a settlement, what do you mean?
It's just kind of a proposed agreement to get them to support our merger. That they have agreed to support the merger, and we've agreed to do certain things to get to bring them about to support the merger.
And what were those things?
Well, I think the fundamental thing is something that we announced in concept when we announced the transaction in January. But $650 million in fuel savings—that's the fuel to run our power plants. We have done additional studies since January and found that. We're basically guaranteeing that savings to customers. Before it was an estimate, now it's a guarantee over the first 5 years after the merger closes. And we estimate that to close by the end of this year, so it'd be between 2012 and 2016. There's also additional community support from our foundations, $16.5 million. We're guaranteeing that as well, and also additional funds for low-income household weatherization, $15 million there. And then any future savings that we get as we merge our corporate functions will be passed on to customers in future rate cases. So it's fundamentally really two big ticket items. One is fuel savings guaranteed at $650 million over 5 years. And the other, which will come down the road through rate cases, is savings that we gain from merging our corporate functions and other functions at the two companies.
Now, you've had to make these agreements. Do you anticipate having to make some sort of similar agreement to get the approval of the Utilities Commission in North Carolina?
Well, the purpose of the hearing is to have other people who are involved in the case. There's some environmental groups, and there's some business groups that are interveners as well, and they will be able to cross-examine and ask questions of our two CEOs, Jim Rogers and Bill Johnson. They'll be on the stand tomorrow, and then there'll be other company officials from both companies on the stand for the next several days. And we'll also be able to ask them questions as well. So it's kind of a two-way street. And ultimately, the Utility Commission has to make the final say, but clearly it's a good step in the right direction, we think, to have the two consumer advocates in both North and South Carolina support this merger before the North Carolina Utilities Commission.
And so the Utilities Commission is going to be asking questions as well?
Oh, definitely. The commissioners will ask questions directly to our CEOs. It's a lively give-and-take discussion. It's much like a courtroom circumstance. And the commission, it's the largest commission that we're going before for this merger. We also need to hear from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But the end result will be the largest utility in the country will stay headquartered in North Carolina, and both Progress and Duke will be able to really better invest in new technology and new generation in the future. We're both entering a major build cycle where we need to invest billions of dollars to retrofit and rebuild our systems over the next several years and decades. And by combining forces, we're able to do that much more economically for our customers.
Now, some of the critics say that this will, you know, just create a company that's just so big, so powerful. I mean, do they have an argument there?
Well, in our view, it's good to have the headquarters of the nation's largest utility stay in North Carolina. Other utilities have publicly said that they were looking at Progress Energy, and they were not in North Carolina. And we feel, you know, by doing this transaction, we're able to combine fuel savings, and other companies out of state were not able to do that. So we really have some very good synergies merging with an in-state utility to bring about savings for customers. And ultimately, long-term, over time, benefit both our shareholders and our customers through this combination. So we feel good about it. It's always difficult when you merge two companies that are very large. There will be some job cuts that come with that, but we're hopeful that the majority of those will come through not filling unfilled positions and also through a voluntary package we're offering employees in the coming months.
Now, and that's one of the big criticisms, I guess, also is the job losses. And you mentioned some of the things that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Are you guys concerned about that as one of the big critiques of it?
I would say both Duke and Progress have long offered voluntary packages to employees when we found that we had the reduced workforce. And we're doing that again this year, and it's a pretty generous package, and many employees may find they're ready to leave. We hope to avoid forced layoffs. It's our full intent to avoid layoffs, but we can't rule those out. And the main purview of the commission is to look at customer savings. It's not a focus on jobs per se. They're out to ensure that customers are not adversely impacted through our merger, and ultimately, if there's some savings that can come from it, which we're demonstrating in this, that clearly is headed in the right direction to meet the commission's objectives. But it'll be a give-and-take discussion with the commission, and we look forward to telling our story.
Now, and it's also being opposed, as you mentioned, by these environmental groups. And I know that one of the arguments that the Sustainable Energy Office is making is that this will set back renewable energy. What do you say to that?
Well, both Duke and Progress are bringing on renewable energy through the Renewable Portfolio Standard in North Carolina, which we supported. It was a great compromise with business customers and the environmental community and the two utilities to support a renewable energy in the state at a certain level. To go beyond that level, renewable energy has to compete with any type of energy source. Duke or Progress today can't go out and build a power plant unless it's a least cost sort of thing to do. And every time we build a plant, we have to do an analysis to show that it's the lowest cost, the lowest impact to the environment, and kind of meets an array of criteria. So those sorts of questions are really looked at separately through our annual planning process we submit to the Utilities Commission. They're typically not considered in mergers. That's not to say they won't look at it. We certainly looked at it and hope to avoid layoffs as much as possible. But the main focus is on customers and ensure customers are protected.
Now, this hearing tomorrow, do you know what the timeline is? You guys will do. You'll have the hearing. Will they decide this week or at the hearing?
I would expect that the hearing will go several days, and they'll ultimately issue an order at some point. There could be certain conditions to the order that we would may take exception to or may not. We just have to see what happens. But it's a major step in the process to approve the transaction. We're still hopeful that we'll close the merger by year end. We're looking forward to having South Carolina consider our joint fuel dispatch, where we'll jointly dispatch our power plants with both companies and save customers hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. South Carolina will consider that approach as well, so that's before them. We need to hear from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And then Shareholders have overwhelmingly voted to support this transaction, more than 90% in both companies. So we feel like we're headed in the right direction and look forward to closing by year end. You know, I'd just like to point out that the merger with Duke and Progress is not happening in a vacuum. There's overall consolidation in our industry going on. You know, for example, since 1993, there were 100 investor-owned utilities in the country, and today there are only 58. And we think in the future that could be as low as, say, 25 or 30 in the next 5 or 10 years. And the reason for that is the same reason that's driving our merger with Progress. You need larger scale to do the sort of construction projects and other investments that are needed going forward. It just helps to be bigger in this scenario than smaller, given the amount of money that we'll be investing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly good for the company, of course. The company gets bigger.
Well, it's also very good for consumers because we're able to do it much more economically than we would if we were standing alone in two smaller companies. Because all those savings are passed on to customers as we're able to access capital less expensively and to really bring about the sorts of investments that we need to make on behalf of customers.
Mm-hmm.
Those dollars flow back to customers down the road in rate cases and things. And in this merger, you know, as I said earlier, we're actually guaranteeing $650 million up front over 5 years, and that's substantial. To be able to commit to do that in the two Carolinas. So, and then there's more savings down the road as we have rate cases, and our combined corporate costs are actually much lower than they are today, acting as separate companies.
The Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is in with several other non-government environmental organizations asking that the commission take a hard look at the merger. We believe that there is information about the benefits that is not clear and is not fully defined. That we think there needs to be more information, and then there's also some concerns we have about the downside because there are going to be job loss both in and around Raleigh and Charlotte and across the state. And given how dire the economic times are, we think that it's important to take a real hard look at this merger. And if you are going to have the layoffs and you're going to have the job loss, that there are ways to mitigate that. And we believe that the utilities investing in cleaner technologies like renewable energy more aggressively in the state of North Carolina will create some jobs. And we also think that investments in things like energy efficiency will also help offset some of that job loss and also save customers money and add to the benefits. So we believe that there are some issues with the merger that need to be fully vetted before the commission agrees to it or even thinks it's a good idea. We as an organization are not philosophically opposed to the concept of Duke and Progress merging at some point in the future. We do believe, though, without a better explanation of what the real benefits are to ratepayers and the citizens of North Carolina, whether this merger makes good sense now. And we think that some of that will be discussed before the commission in the coming days.
Now, obviously, your company or your group, you guys want clean energy, of course, and that's what you guys are all about. So is the goal here to just get to secure from the Utilities Commission an agreement with the two companies that they will invest more in renewable energy? Is it to get some sort of concession with the idea that this merger is sort of already going or sort of conceding that the merger will take place?
Well, I think that the main issue here is for everyone. It's not just for our organization to ask the question about whether this merger is a net positive or a net negative for the state of North Carolina. And yes, clean energy could be a way of helping to offset the impacts of the job layoffs and could make the new company a leader in the area, and we would certainly welcome that. But we are also expert in understanding issues around how utilities run their system and whether those benefits flow through to the customers, and making sure that those benefits do come to the customers and aren't just going to either the shareholders or the corporate leaders, the corporate executives. And so a merger, you need to look at a very wide array of issues. So I wouldn't say that we're just, one, that we're conceding that the merger is necessarily going to go forward. I think it's premature for that. I think that the commission needs to take a real hard look at that. And I think, two, the company needs to do everything it can to maximize the benefits for the citizens of North Carolina and offset the negative impacts of this merger. And so we believe that clean energy and energy efficiency is certainly one of the mechanisms that could be used to help offset some of this job loss and also could increase the amount of benefits that would come from the new company. But I think that's to be determined, and we are an interested party, as are other groups, in making sure that this is fully discussed before the commission over the coming days and weeks.
Are you saying that you'd like to see the companies maybe go beyond what they have to do with the renewable energy standard portfolio by going beyond that?
Well, a couple of things are going to happen. When the original renewable energy standard passed in the state of North Carolina, there were two companies that were buying renewable energy at that point, Progress as a unique company and Duke as a unique company. What's about to happen is you're about to merge that into one company, so there's only one purchaser of the renewable energy. And that could have negative impacts on how diverse the renewable market is, which could negatively impact the growth of the renewable area. So we need to look at questions like that. Also, you have the opportunity to use clean energy above and beyond the clean energy standard to more rapidly grow jobs and economic development in the state of North Carolina. The targets within the renewable energy standard in many ways were sort of a minimal set of targets just to get North Carolina in the game on renewable energy. Now that the economic slowdown has happened, there's an opportunity to maybe more aggressively invest in projects that could bring more jobs to North Carolina, which could potentially offset some of the jobs that are being lost through this merger. So it is an opportunity to look overall. Again, I think what the Utility Commission is looking at is, are there enough net benefits to overcome the downsides associated with this merger? And what we're arguing is the company needs to provide more information, for one thing, about what the benefits are and how they really do flow through to customers and aren't just accrued at either the shareholder level or the executive level. And then, two, making sure that whatever the downsides are, that they're doing everything they can to offset those downsides. So there's a number of different ways they could do that. Investment in clean energy is one, and we think a very viable one.
How important is tomorrow's hearing?
Well, this is a historic merger between – this will make the largest utility company in the United States and de facto one of the largest in the world. And so it is a very big deal. And in a very real sense, this is happening at one of the most difficult economic times that we've ever seen. We've never seen a merger at this scale happening in such dire economic times in the state of North Carolina. So I believe that this is a very, very significant and very large set of affairs that are going to play out before the commission. And we're hoping that many people are going to pay attention. You know, ironically, this has sort of floated below the radar screen, and it's just now, I think, sort of getting some of the public debate that it properly needs. This is a very, very big deal because everybody is connected to the electricity that these companies, in a very real way, most people are connected to the electricity that's going to come from this new company, and we need to figure out how that plays forward.
All right, Mr. Smith, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity, and feel free to stay in touch. We'll see how all this develops.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we did get, a positive initial ruling from the commission today where the companies were trying to limit the scope of the debate, and the commissioners said, no, we think the full range of economic issues are viable fodder for or viable conversations for the hearing. The companies wanted to limit it pretty dramatically. And I think that's appropriate. I mean, I think that it is, you know, if the economy was going like gangbusters, you know, absorbing 1,000 or 2,000 people job loss may be easier for the state to handle. But in a time of dire economic times, you know, you want to ask some tough questions about whether this is the right time to do this or not.
Well, we're concerned about some of the impacts that the new company could have on North Carolina. Specifically, we're concerned that, really the company could take two different directions. The new merged company could take two different directions. One, it could continue to head down a path of producing electricity through coal and other fossil fuels, or it could encourage more investments in renewable energy. And we're just worried that the new company could crowd out all of the new renewable energy jobs that are popping up all over North Carolina.